Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 27th day of November, 2018. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And I got to be honest with you up front today, folks. I had a difficult time putting the news together because literally all of the major stories, especially when the waste stream was touting them, sounded like things that we've been talking about here for so long that they're finally getting around to admitting actually might matter. Like more rapes in Europe committed by migrants. Latest one was in Italy. Whoops, sorry, I can't really say that. The latest one that the waste stream decided was worth reporting. And did you know George Soros was a criminal? And more countries are figuring that out and kicking him out. We'll come back to that one. The same thing goes for non-existent man-made global warming, which your host has been saying for a long time people will soon be praying for. And we're closer by the day to when that can no longer be hidden. So the waste stream's decided to trickle some of those stories out little by little. And meanwhile, the other big stories, the proxy war in the Ukraine versus Russia, World War III in the wings, and the continuing slow-motion invasion now of the southern United States via the various mercenary migrant caravans coming up through Mexico, continue, but more quietly, while we wait for the next shoe to drop. And I guess the same thing's true for the slow-motion economic meltdown, although there are more and more harbingers on that front. It's just that for the most part, Americans are now so ignorant of economics, they won't recognize them until, as I've been saying for quite a while, the shelves at Walmart one of these days turn out to be empty. Surprise, surprise. We'll touch on all of those updates here in a couple of minutes, but arguably the real news today has to do with the continuing war against what's left of the rule of law. So we'll start with one of the highest profile criminals out there, masquerading as a special prosecutor, a.k.a. witch hunter, Robert Mueller, who still seems really embarrassed that he can't find any actual evidence linking the other team to the crimes that he and Team Hitlery actually committed. You know, election manipulation, treason with Russia, that kind of thing. So he's lashing out. Here's one example. 2 months after Paul Manafort announced he would cooperate with the you-know-what in his probe, yeah, sure, of Russian collusion as part of a guilty plea, because evidently the alternatives were worse, the ex-Trump campaign chief has again found himself in hot water, say the stories, with a late Monday filing by persecutors accusing Manafort of lying in the Russia investigation. Yes, that's their job. In the latest just-filed joint status report, says Zero Hedge, Robert Mueller alleges that after signing the plea agreement, in which Manafort agreed that if he engages in any criminal activity prior to sentencing, he would be in breach of the agreement, quote, Manafort committed federal crimes by lying to the federal bunglers of investigation and the special counsel's office on a variety of subject matters, unquote, which they claim constitute breaches of the agreement. If you want to lie, obviously you'd have to be an FBI agent rather than just talking to one, unless, of course, you're able to run for president on the socialist platform. As the WAPO notes, the apparent collapse of Manafort's cooperation agreement is the latest, what they call stunning, turnaround in his case, exposing the longtime Republican consultant to more than a decade behind bars after having already caved and pled guilty in September on charges of cheating the Internal Revenue Service, violating foreign lobbying laws, which only apply, of course, if you're not on Team D, and attempting to obstruct justice. I guess the same thing applies there. You know what, folks? I watch this stuff, and it really is hard not to be cynical when you realize the real criminals are the ones that are getting away with this while alleging to investigate others for their very own crimes. Here's at least one revealing comment from Barton Gellman, who said, no way to know how bad this is for Mueller, but it can't be good. Manafort will be hammered, as if he hadn't been already, but the public import seems to be that the special counsel has lost evidence he expected to obtain, or at least he expected to coerce. Anything Manafort did cough up may now be tainted by new charges that he's a liar, unquote. And I guess he's in good company, folks. And yeah, anything he coughs up was already tainted, but at least it's becoming more and more obvious just what a circus this, like so many other things in the swamp, has turned out to be. The special witch hunter now demands that Manafort be sentenced immediately, and ironically, in response, while Manafort has said he provided truthful information and doesn't agree with the government's characterization or that he's breached the agreement, he also agrees that there's, quote, no reason to delay the sentencing herein, and he asks the court to set a sentencing date in this matter. The president, for his part, is one of many who can see through this ruse. He blasted Mueller and, quote, angry Democrats in a bunch of tweets earlier today, saying, go back to the Clinton Foundation. In a trio of increasingly angry tweets, says Tyler Durden this morning, President Trump raged at the special counsel as, quote, a conflicted prosecutor gone rogue, lambasting him for doing tremendous damage to our criminal justice system because of his one-sided so-called investigation. Here's the entire quote. The phony witch hunt continues, but Mueller and his gang of angry Dems are only looking at one side, not the other. Wait until it comes out how horribly and viciously they're treating people, ruining lives for them refusing to lie. Mueller, he said, is a conflicted prosecutor gone rogue, and the fake news media builds Bob Mueller up as a saint, when in actuality he is the exact opposite. He's doing tremendous damage, he capitalizes that, to our criminal justice system, where he's only looking at one side, not the other. Heroes will come from this, and it won't be Robert Mueller and his terrible gang of angry Democrats. Look at their past, and look where they come from. And look, folks, where they are trying to take this nation to. Which brings me to what ought to be the biggest story in this whole stinking morass. One of the best investigative reporters in the entire country, Jerome Corsi, who has refused to cave in to Mueller's inquisition, has decided to stand his ground and not surrender the hill he seems willing to die on. He won't make the deal with the devil. Quote, he said, they can put me in prison for the rest of my life. I'm not going to sign a lie. This from an associate of Roger Stone, who said Monday, Jerome Corsi is refusing to sign that plea deal from the special counsel. Asked by the criminally negligent network in a phone call what happens now that he's had the horse's head put in his bed, but he's still refusing that offer they thought he couldn't refuse, he said, I don't know. Last week, Corsi acknowledged the pressure was on. He was in plea negotiations with the special counsel's office, and earlier this month he said he expected to be indicted for, quote, giving false information to the special counsel or to one of the other grand jury, unquote. But he followed that up on Monday, saying he believed he would be lying by signing the plea agreement because he didn't willfully mislead anyone. He described his experience with the Mueller interrogators as, quote, like being interrogated as a POW in the Korean War. And maybe he means everything but waterboarding there. I did hear an interview where Roger Stone said he'd been subjected to 40 consecutive hours of such torture by the Mueller investigators. You can compare and contrast that with the Hitlery love-in session if you'd like. During the entire ordeal, of course, he continues to insist that he had no contact with WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, who your host notes they'd have killed by now if they could, and that, quote, investigators were so mad because I didn't give them what they wanted, unquote. And he claimed further that Mueller's team wanted to keep any plea agreement sealed, a point that particularly incensed him. And by now, folks, we know darn well why they want to keep everything that they possibly can secret. This thing stinks to high heaven. We do need one brief bit of good news today. 6 months after Hungarian President Viktor Orban demonstrated the kind of backbone that Europe is trying to destroy and succeeded in driving his former mentor and current nemesis, the evil George Soros, out of Hungary, the Hungarian-born billionaire financier and his Open Society Foundation that has financed an army of liberal NGOs across Europe and a literal invasion, not only there, but certainly in North America as well, has been driven out of yet another country. According to The Guardian, Soros's Open Society Foundation is formally withdrawing from Turkey after the founder of its Turkish organization was arrested and charged with supporting an opposition figure accused of trying to overthrow the government of Turkish President Erdogan. And I do admit that's kind of funny. Who knows, maybe he wasn't quite tyrannical enough for them. In a speech last week, Erdogan accused Soros of trying to sow instability and discord in Turkish society, too, and of organizing destabilizing protests. Gee, that's a new one, isn't it? Said the Turkish president, referring to the evil Soros, quote, this is a man who assigns people to divide nations and shatter them. He has so much money and he spends it this way, unquote. The Open Society Foundation in Turkey announced their decision to withdraw from there amid an Interior Ministry investigation that evidently got uncomfortable for them. The New York Times said a representative for Open Society had claimed that maintaining the organization's operations in Istanbul had become, quote, completely untenable, unquote. And you know what, folks? We can hope and pray that they'll become untenable in the rest of the world, too, before their minions succeed in making the rule of law completely untenable. Which brings me to a story that I think is just ever so apropos again today, especially given so many things that we've been lied to about for so long that keep being revealed, not as conspiracy theories, but as facts of real criminal conspiracy right there in the deep state swamp. And that old Clinton-era phrase just keeps coming back to me. Who you gonna believe, me or your lying eyes? Well, when it comes to the liars, hopefully, we're finally figuring it out. And I have mentioned it lately, but this story is worth repeating now because it dates back to my original days in radio, when Larry Nichols, who was then one of the primary advisors to the evil Dixie Mafia, you know them as Bill and Hillary Clinton, first in the Arkansas governor's office and then later when the rapist-in-chief was first running for president, got religion and decided to come clean about just how truly crooked the people he once worked for really are. I've talked to him personally several times over the years via radio interviews and heard him talk about what I'm getting ready to mention next many more times. But the bottom line is that for at least two decades, he has been accurately describing precisely what we're seeing going on now. As a matter of fact, he talked about it as a game, or an exercise, if you prefer, at honing their skills that the Clintons and their top advisors played over and over again in order to get good at perfecting their lies. And the name that they use really says it all.
Think of it as kind of like playing charades, only you get to lie as much as you want.
It was called, Who You Gonna Believe, Me or Your Lying Eyes? And the idea was to practice convincing the gullible that what you really just saw wasn't what actually happened at all.
No, I did not have sex with that woman. But it does all depend on what the meaning of the word is.
And here I have to ask another, hopefully embarrassing question. I'm sure everybody listening now knows who Dr. Christine Blasey Ford is. And even though she can't remember exactly when, where, or anything except who might have maybe touched her so many decades ago, and even though there's no supporting evidence whatsoever, much less a video, even a doctored one, for her claims, these same fake news outlets over and over again for literally days, if not weeks on end, claimed, we must believe her because she's a woman. And she's, of course, not Paula Jones, Kathleen Willey, Juanita Broderick, or any of the other lengthy litany of Clinton abuse victims.
So, yeah, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?
And on that score, folks, your host can't help but hearken back to some of the many high-profile, oops, we got caught lying again examples from these very same waste media outlets. And we don't even have to go all the way back to the murder of a sitting president on live TV. Although that does, of course, percolate pretty close to the top of the lengthy list. But speaking just for myself, folks, the one I really remember most comes right from the early part of the Clinton era. And coincidentally, or maybe not, just before the Waco cover-up. And just in case you've forgotten, and NBC would certainly hope that you have by now, this particular incredibly incendiary whopper involved NBC News and Dateline, their nightly news sick program in particular, rigging a GM full-size pickup truck to explode on command when they needed it to, by strapping a model rocket engine to the gas tank. And that was an episode that aired on November 17, 1992. They were sued, they lost, and even the LA Times had to admit this one was really embarrassing. The headline from February 10th of 1993 says, after the lawsuit, NBC admits it rigged the crash and settled the GM suit in what they called an extraordinary public apology. They aired, yeah, really, by staging a fiery test crash of a General Motors pickup for their Dateline NBC News program and agreed to settle a defamation suit filed by the damaged automaker. Quote, we deeply regret we included the inappropriate demonstration in our Dateline report, said a not really that chastened statement read by co-anchors Jane Pauley and Stone Phillips. Well, listen to this. We apologize to our viewers and to General Motors. We've concluded that unscientific demonstrations should have no place in hard news stories at NBC. That's our new policy, unquote. And that obviously was a long time ago, folks. Because the current policy of all the ministries of truth seems to have departed from that not only a long time ago, but by a really long ways. Who knows? Perhaps because there may not be any such thing anymore as hard news on the major networks. But since then, we've gotten pretty well inured to all kinds of whoppers coming from the likes of CNN and the various three-letter propaganda agencies, like war correspondents reporting from deadly battle zones with explosions and crashes and bullets ricocheting off behind them while they sit in front of a green screen. And we saw this one again just a couple of weeks back. The intrepid reporters from the hurricane zone, who may not be standing in front of a green screen, they're supposedly in the midst of a dramatic weather event, but the problem is, while passersby talking to one another nonchalantly and all the while recording the whole thing on their ubiquitous video phones, are pointing out that the intrepid correspondent is leaning the wrong way into what little wind there was. So yeah, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? How many times are you going to lie to me, I guess, is the appropriate response. Answer, over and over and over and over again, and most of the dumbed-down cretins in America who keep believing their lies are going to let them get away with it, too. Case in point, Brian Williams. Remember him? Yeah, his lips are still moving. Almost as full of himself, but not quite, as Jim Acosta. Got caught in his own whoppers. Yeah, that should be plural. But, of course, the one everybody ought to remember that kind of stands out was the Iraq War helicopter incident. This one's still getting spun, but here's how Variety reported it. In February of 2015, quote, Brian Williams, the most watched evening news anchor on television today, has acknowledged that he falsely claimed to have been on a helicopter that was shot down by enemy fire while on an NBC News reporting trip to Iraq in 2003. The admission, which comes after other mistakes made by NBC News sick personnel in recent newscasts, could give rivals like CBS and ABC, well, no, now they're all coordinated, folks, fodder in the ongoing struggle to lure audiences. And they go on to say that his recounting of the harrowing trip was, as it turns out, specious. That's a polite word for it. He lied. Originally, and repeatedly, say the sources, he claimed that a military helicopter he'd been traveling on in that war zone had been, quote, forced down after being hit by an RPG, unquote. And, of course, there's no video from those days of the actual event dating back to March of 2003. Sadly for Williams, there is video of what he said on air. And this particular whopper went on for years, up until a flight engineer on the actual helicopter that had been attacked called him out. He admitted to the military-focused outlet Stars and Stripes in an interview published Wednesday, remember this was 2015, that he was in fact on board a different plane that was never under fire and that landed safely about an hour behind the one that did. In an interview, he said, I would not have chosen to make this mistake. I don't know what screwed up in my mind that caused me to conflate one aircraft with another. Unquote. You know, and that sounds a little bit like Hitlery, conflating the fact that she was also under fire when she really wasn't. But, you know, when you get to be really old, decrepit, and you're used to lying, it gets hard to kind of tell the lies from the truth after a while. But she certainly learned the trick, too. You have to sell those lies. Remember? Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? And when it's really important, like say if you want to rig an election, you double down and force other so-called news outlets to support things that they all know are outright in-your-face whoppers. So let's take a quick review. Was NBC doctoring the video when they rigged the GM pickup to explode on command? No, that was just a whopper. And interestingly, there actually had been some GM pickups that had exploded, so at least there was the 80-20 rule part of the truth at play. Oh, and did every single news agency covering the execution of a bunch of people in their church in Waco, Texas, doctor the video there? No, they just simply didn't take any video that Big Brother didn't want Americans to see. And then they lied about the real video that came from the forward-looking infrared cameras that didn't get bleach-bitted or FBI deep-sixed in time, and thus revealed those lies. And they've never, ever fessed up about the depth of that depravity or the false flag bombing in Oklahoma City 2 years to the day later that destroyed literally who knows how much Clinton-era evidence, oh, and in the process killed a whole bunch of kids as collateral damage. And lucky for them, this was before cell phone video. So back to the latest whoppers and, more importantly, intended distraction from one of the biggest whoppers in American history. Lying Jim Acosta claims he didn't touch her, and the lying media backs him up, but won't show you the videos, any of the whole bunch of them, that prove otherwise. Who you gonna believe, me or your lying eyes? The answer, folks, is that video can be doctored, especially in the days when Hollywood and the fake news media are on the same stinking team. This one wasn't, as a whole lot of eyewitnesses, and that's a lot more than Blasey Ford, have already confirmed. And this, after all, is a radio program. I can't show you a video, but as it turns out, I don't have to, because you can believe your ears. And no, I'm not going to force you to listen to the whole Jim Acosta narcissistic outrage. Just the thrilling climax more than makes the point.
And they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
Honestly, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
Right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question, Mr. President, if I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am. Mr. President.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have...
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation? Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN.
And the president's right, and he gave that reprobate a whole lot more time than he should have, in at least this host's opinion. And even in the audio here, we saw tons of reasons why this guy's White House press pass was rightfully pulled. He was not only rude, as the president said, he was what once upon a time would have been called a boor. Nowadays, though, there's a modern term, and I'm going to have to bleep myself, but the truth is really simple. Jim Acosta is an utter asshole. But we all knew that. The real point here is that all of this, and it's not just limited to, well, you know what's like this, is a great big blue smoke screen. He's just the poster boy for the entire fake news ministry of truth. And the reason there's so much smoke around their attempt to destroy any and all of the alternative media, even if part of the smoke screen is to try to convince you they're focused on a single guy, a decent journalist, and yes, Alex Jones looks really good, especially by comparison to the likes of Jim Acosta, is revealed by what their blue smoke is trying to hide. You cannot trust the crap they're trying to peddle, much less the reasons why they're trying to hide what they're doing. There really is a war on for your mind, and for what's left of your God-given rights, and for what's left of your once free country. And it really does involve open treason on so many fronts. From a long-hidden invasion and the false flags that continue to make it possible, to the fifth columns that are now embedded all over the United States, to the undermining of a duly elected president, to the outright theft of an entire election, and perhaps not one but even two houses of Congress. You know, folks, that you cannot trust the media. I hope that's been clear now for a long, long time, even though now it's just plain over the top. But what this latest round of blue smoke is designed to obscure is the fact that you cannot, and I'll say it again, you cannot trust a corrupt election process. It was pre-rigged, and then they waited to see just how badly they had lost, and then they did the post-election rigging. And no, it wasn't just crooked Broward County or Palm Beach County or Maricopa County in Arizona. And it's so bad now that the chain of custody has been destroyed and the process has been undermined from the beginning that there is literally no way to reconstruct just how bad this latest election theft actually was. Here's a sincere suggestion I'd like to see people consider. The deep state mafia, of course, will squeal like stuck pigs now that they've been caught, and they won't want to talk about it anyway. Just throw out all of those votes from all of those precincts that have been demonstrated to be knee-deep in criminal fraud. And then seat the representatives who were elected honestly. And gee, folks, what do you bet? The reason for the squealing is that we probably have two houses of Congress that look a whole lot less Bolshevik. And I mean, really, if you already know they lie when they put their hand on a Bible and swear to support a constitution that they absolutely detest, now we've had it confirmed lately that they're more than willing to rig elections, not to mention ignore treason. So why should we be in the least surprised that they're willing to put a final wooden stake in the so-called criminal justice system? How many times do we need to see it? The criminals have clearly been running the system. So here's how I wrap it for today. On about every front you can imagine, folks, the war is literally on. Criminal conspiracies and deliberate economic meltdowns, as well as war, are all really big deals. All can and are intended to cause massive death and destruction. But the biggest deal of all, folks, is the war on truth. If it doesn't set us free, the alternative is obvious. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.